It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I'm excited because tonight we're going to have a wonderful topic right here on the program. Tonight we're going to be talking about why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it into the mainstream. But before we get involved into tonight's topic, let's cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to come together collectively as a community. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind that is tuned in and locked and loaded to the program. God, please give them the blessing that they're looking for and forward, going forward into this business, that they can plant seeds into your kingdom and plant seeds out there into the ears and minds of others to help them move forward as well. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, guys, tonight we're talking about why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it into the mainstream? Today, we have a lot of people that is in the creative way of doing music, and they have the tools that necessary to help them provide the beat and all of that, what goes along with making music. Now, the question is the music qualified to hit the ears of mainstream? If not, why? Tonight is what we want to hear. I want to hear, why do you think that most unsigned artists are not making it into the marketplace? I'm going to go to area codes. Unfortunately, I didn't have a moment before the show to lock you in, so I'm going to drop in some area codes. Who got their hands up? 404-429. Please state your name, where you're calling in from, and what's your input on tonight's topic.
Hey, what's up? First of all, my name is Frenchie, calling in from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Hey,
and
welcome to Hip Hop National.
I appreciate that. I've been making music my whole life, and I've had the opportunity to make a lot of music and meet a lot of artists, and just to observe the state of music, mainstream, underground. And when I saw this question, it intrigued me. And my first response, my first initial response to it is that I actually think it's always going to be a fact that most unsigned artists are not going to make it in the mainstream. And sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with the amount of talent they have, because I'm sure a lot of people notice that there are people in the mainstream that may not be as talented as people who aren't in mainstream. So to me, the main reason why artists are not breaking into that field is that they haven't tapped into their own marketability. Because I think a lot of what makes an artist mainstream is understanding what it is about what you do that makes you different from what everyone else is doing. And I think a lot of unsigned artists feel like just because they're talented, just because they have hot music, that they're entitled to have a lot of people listen to them. But they might not just have that natural spark that it takes to captivate a large audience.
All right, cool. And thank you very much, Frenchie, for your opening statement. We're going to definitely get into that in just a moment. 702-459, state your name, where you're calling in from.
Las Vegas, Nevada, and this is Aaron Arrington.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Aaron,
as you know, I'm a producer, promoter in the Las Vegas market. I don't know where you want me to start, or just pick up where Frenchie left off.
You could start with your opening statement, and then we're definitely going to pick apart what Frenchie said, and then we'll go around. You can pick up right where he left off at and give us your opening statement. Go for it.
Well, I think he had a valid point. In this industry, first of all, with the artists, some artists are very, very marketable, but they don't have the tools of marketing. They might be marketable, but they don't know how to market. So, you know, and everybody doesn't have that gift. Some people are just the artist. But packaging, sending out press releases, and just really getting their name out there to go to the next level is, I think, what hinders a lot of the artists from going to the next level in mainstream, because at labels and or producers and promoters that are looking for new talent, it is all in the packaging. You know, the vocals might be great, but just to get it on my desk, it has to be and look presentable, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Aaron, yeah. I need you to stay with me. We're going to bring in some more callers, and then we're going to get into the topic. Thank you for your opening statement, man. Stay with us, okay? 404-717, state your name, where you're calling in from.
Yo, this is Dylan. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia, owner of Yale Entertainment Promotional Company.
Hey, Dylan. I'll tell you like this. We had an opportunity to kind of meet briefly in a forum that you had started. I thought it was one of the better forums that I've ever been a part of, and I appreciate you guys' dialogue in tonight, in the post.
Thank you, man. We also got Frenchie,
who he was kind of going back and forth with you, too, and he's on deck with us tonight, too. So give us your opening statement with why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it to mainstream?
I think the reason why, because actually nowadays a lot of artists don't want to put a lot of effort into themselves, whether it's financial or personal. You know what I'm saying? Financial reasons or, you know, they don't have the work ethic, especially with the way the industry is nowadays. A lot of things are going independent, and a lot of artists are, you know, back in the past, the way the industry was, the companies would put the money behind the artists and, you know, give them basically the promotions themselves. Now a lot of things independent, the artist has to have their own drive and effort and knowledge and everything within themselves. A lot of artists don't have that. Everything that the corporate or industry or a record company knows, an individual doesn't have all that. So it's harder for an individual if you don't have everything that a company might have within itself.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, darling. Appreciate you and your opening statement. We're about to get into it in a few minutes. I want to introduce you guys to my team. Twyla, she's on deck with us, and we also have Raw Dog. We're going to do ladies first, and we're going to open up both of their mics. I want to bring it in. These are the guys who they kind of stand in the trenches with me to make sure we bring forth these topics all the time. Twyla.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome on deck tonight. Why do you
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I think I'm going to be a good listener today, but I do want to respond to it. I know some guys that are really talented. Like, I look at them like million-dollar men. I mean, that's how talented they are. But like y'all were saying, this topic is great. They don't know how actually to market themselves, you know. They don't know how to get in, you know, to be heard and be seen. So it's a lot of them know that they have the talent, and, you know, they know they have the talent, but they don't know how to, you know, promote themselves, bring themselves, you know, to that level. And
awesome. Sounds like you're pretty busy over there tonight, Twyla. That's what it sounds like.
No, that's not me. That's somebody else's house.
Oh, that's me. Yeah. I got a lot going on.
You
go,
no,
Twyla.
I can't deal with a lot of noise.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
No, I like peace and quiet.
Woo! Yeah. Draw the blinds.
Okay.
I'm running around butt naked. Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, TMI. We got Raw Dog on deck with us. Gave us that too much information piece right now. Go ahead, Raw Dog.
Hey, Raw Dog, don't start it, okay?
I got you back. Don't even worry. Now, you know what?
Raw Dog, why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it into mainstream today?
Well, you know, since I've been up and down that road and I've seen talented individuals that I respect and that, you know, they had a gift. But you got to have the gift and the magic. Now, you see, that word magic is something that is the total package. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's take a show like Sunday Best. And, you know, there's a lot of talented artists that come on and audition to be on that. But the issue that you have in front of that is a panel of critics that literally tell them what's necessary for them to do, you know, to be a star and have that magic. You see, you know, an artist hitting the stage, you know, is just a person. But there's something that a gift that only a few will find that God gave them. And that's to be able to bring that magic when they come to stage to be that entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, you can have you can have a product that everybody is just wanting to see and they enjoy it. But that other side of the whole package when you do it live is what's necessary. Now, I'm going to tell you somebody that got lucky with that was Jay-Z. Jay-Z just stands up and raps, okay? Now, you got to look at it like this. He has a gift, and he came through in hip-hop at a time when the production soared him to a higher level. Remember, he was a radio DJ, and then he went to that, you know, and he had a chance to put a package together when you see him, you know, of dynamic individuals. I saw him with his own backup group. And the musicians and what have you made him that $100 ticket seller, you know, because he brought a package with him and they twisted the music and it wasn't the same as the CD. But I saw him with a DJ and it was a cold kind of situation. You kind of felt like, wow, I want to see more. I want more than just him up there with a DJ giving me the lyrics. He doesn't dance. He doesn't sing. And, you know, so you start to think about the individuals that are trying to get into this hip-hop mainstream and what have you. What package are they bringing with them? You know, grabbing your crouch, that's gotten old. You know, your pants sagging, well, okay, fine. Flexing your muscles, okay, that's going to get the girls kind of, you know. But what else are you bringing? Are you bringing something in the message? Are you bringing something with the composition that you brought? But is it owned by somebody else? And you're going to find that, hey, after this one song, I went to a different producer and it doesn't have the same fire. You know, what type of package are they bringing trying to get into the mainstream? You know, because as a musician and a music producer, you know, I've got things that would make you groove and make you move and people enjoy that have no lyrics. So what type of package is that artist bringing? And we've had some talented individuals send us productions, but we have a policy on our station here of having something that we can introduce to the mainstream. And so we get sidetracked by liking the talent, but finding that the mainstream is not really going to accept the product that they're trying to distribute, to get out there. You know, you know what I'm talking. They're on a flying carpet, and when they send it to you with explicit language and what have you, who are you going to let hear it? Now,
Wait, before I go there, let me say this to everybody. This is an open discussion, guys. You guys are free to chime in when you're ready to chime in. Rodolph, take it by the handle for a moment. I'll be right back. Okay.
All right. See, now when we start talking about, you know, people in that are trying to get in, and we're trying to help a lot of people. We want to introduce artists to producers and what have you, and we get some really, really good talent. But now, listen, I got something I want you to hear so that you kind of get an idea of why a lot of artists aren't going to the mainstream, and we can't introduce them because we can't find the two sides of them. Listen to this.
Guns off, stay there, guns off, stay there. I show and prove my guns off, stay there. Whenever you face me, y'all niggas gon' hate me. I show and prove that my guns go off.
Family, never friends, I go one against ten. I go alphabet, nigga, amen, beamin, seamen. With demons and emons, destined to be G-men. Okay, safety off and shoot him, F. Bill Shanklin.
If you get what you have, then that's what you got.
Yeah.
It ain't my fault that you fuck with the cops. Don't call my phone, don't come to my spot.
Nope.
It is what it is, nigga, like it or
like
not.
It or
no,
not.
I can't fuck with you, nigga, you
know
hot.
You hot.
Into your bitch, get off my cock. Keep it 100 from head to my socks.
You
hate to have to put your ass in a box.
Bang.
I'm sneakier than a fox.
Hey.
Been up all night selling rock.
Hey.
Brother just gave me a Glock.
Hey.
I don't think that I can stop.
Jay.
Really should fuck with a monster, a nigga who come in and conquer. Nigga, I'm about to go bonkers.
This is your final warning.
You say that you shoot with a full clip. Brett, you know you ain't doing shit. You can miss me with that bullshit.
This is your final warning.
When it's fitted on, I don't take talk, nigga, you will be gone. Rap game climbing, but my money is long. Disrespect, find out the effect when the rifle connect. Hold to your chest, now you're bleeding. I'm the Grim Reaper, say good evening. Girls always send me sexual texts, cause they want me to fuck them and come all over their breasts. They don't even care, under or the BM. Fuck me anytime in the AM or the PM. In the club I pop bottle, I'm a fucking GM. I don't even play ball, all I do is travel. Go mouth to mouth on the bitches that goggle. My money's insane, blow out your brain.
All right. There's a little demonstration.
That gave me an instant headache.
Now, in listening to those songs,
oh God,
none of them could be introduced to a mainstream. And when you listen to all the words, now they were talented. Don't get me wrong. There was talent in there.
Can I say something?
But the lyrics. Yeah.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
As far as cadence, as far as delivery, as far as uniqueness and originality, and as far as marketability, how would you rate that song? I'm going to start with you, Frenchie. I want to hear it.
Which song are we talking about?
Now, there were
it was several songs there. How would you
it
rate
was like,
okay.
Or is it like
all
four
right.
songs?
I'm going to say
Three.
None of them grasped my attention content-wise. Like, because I run a recording artist competition, and we judge songs based on four categories. And it's these four categories that I feel make a complete song. And the four categories are content, vocal delivery, originality, and entertainment.
Right.
Now, as far as content, a lot of people think
What are the four categories again?
Content,
vocal delivery,
originality, and entertainment.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And I love it because really that's the premises of how a song, not only a song, but an act will be judged on.
That's the magic.
And I think like most artists aren't going to excel in every one of those categories. Because there's a lot of stuff in mainstream that may not touch you content-wise, but it's so good delivery-wise and originality and the entertainment is so great that it masks some of the other areas that they may not do well in. Now, the music that I just heard, from what I can hear, like through the phone, I can't really judge the music or like the sound of it, but from what I can hear from the words and the delivery that I heard, none of them really had that emotion that I look for in artists, where you're really connecting to what you're saying. Like, to me, I hear a lot of artists who can write bars and can spit bars, but it's a certain tone and a certain delivery that you have to have behind your words and your content, where you have to be speaking about real things. Like, you have to be speaking about stuff that you're passionate about. And if you're passionate about it, it should come through in the inflection on your words. And to me, when I hear people rap, it just sounds like they're just rapping. Like, you're just reading lyrics, you're just making words rhyme, but you're not really connecting to what you're saying. And if you're not connecting with it, you can't expect a large amount of people to connect with what you're saying. And then another thing, I think the first two songs were about some street stuff, like killing people.
Uh-huh.
There's only a small demographic of people who's going to connect to that message. You've already cut off a large amount of audience who could connect with your music. Because I'm from the suburbs. Like, I'm not going to connect with, I'm about to come down the street and bust this dude in his face. I'm about to go rob him. Like, I'm not going to connect with that. Now, I might not be able to relate to that, but there are artists who talk about street topics, but I feel what they're saying because it sounds authentic. It sounds like it's what they come from. Like, I'm not going to say, because, like, one of my favorite artists growing up, my favorite rapper was Eminem. Like, I couldn't relate to a lot of what he was saying. Like, he came from a completely different lifestyle as me, but it's because of the way he delivered his words, you could tell that's what he came from. And I feel like that's what a lot of artists aren't tapping into. They're not connecting with what they come from and putting their honest feelings and emotions into their music. To me, it's like they play more of a role. They want you to, like, they want to come off like a rapper. They want to come off hard, but it's like there's no authenticity in the words. So that's what I'm missing. And as far as that third song, that was just funny. Like, some of the words I heard in that were just, like, left field. Like, I think at some point he said something about coming on somebody's breast, and I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah,
it's like random vulgarity. Like, it's no real direction to what you're talking about. Like, it's one thing to write, but it's another thing to know how to connect your thoughts in a way that makes sense to the listener.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I feel a lot of artists are missing, and that's what those artists were missing in particular.
They were just like going over.
You know,
the place.
Frenchie, I got to say this, Frenchie. You hit the nail on the head on your analysis.
Yeah.
You did listen, and I can appreciate that. Now, as the program director that gets these submissions, you know, it's really hard. I live in the suburbs also. So it's really hard when I get ready. I say, oh, we got a new one here. And I start it up, and I hear the lyrics, and I go, oh, 12 seconds. That's all I can give it. Because, you know, when you listen to them, the one thing that I picked out of all of those, they're all ego things. They're talking about their own ego little trip. I don't care about another man's ego trip.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I want to know something, a thought that can be shared, not somebody's fantasy on coming on a female's breast. I think that's nasty.
Yeah.
Somebody got to clean up, you know?
I think actually the problem is, though, this is pushed out. This almost has become the mainstream, possibly within their mindset of wherever they come from, though. Like you got to think, like, you get a lot of 2 Chainz and people of that nature on the radio right now talk about these same topics. Now, the difference is 2 Chainz is a little bit of a better artist than these guys you might have played, or if you even want to go on gangster rap, you got the T.I.s of the world and the Ludacris and the Young Jeezy. These guys may not be as good as these artists, but they're striving, and these probably are role models to them. They just don't know how to deliver it like these upper echelon artists who actually got talent, but they got
right.
that same content in their music or even the production.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it is almost in their mind they mainstream because that's the only thing they'll be able to relate to. You know what I'm saying? The song will be as shallow as they make it, but if you don't have anything entertaining about your lyrical ability, or even if you ain't lyrical, but the song has a good beat, you have to have something to bring you in. And I think those songs really didn't have nothing regardless of the content, to bring anybody
yeah.
in.
I agree.
It was just generic to me. Like, as an artist, I know there's only so much we can talk about. Like, everybody is generally going to be talking about the same things because we all go through the same thing. So as an artist, you have to be creative enough to tap into your own individuality. Like, how can I say this same idea that people are going through but say it in a different way? How can I really connect to what I'm saying? And I just think people don't tap into what makes them different. And, like, everybody just winds up sounding like clones. It's like no creativity.
Exactly. Well, now, you know something? You're very, very right on everything that you just said there. And you know the artist Macklemore, the song Thrift Shop? And America was going through a recession at the time. And he said he put $20 together and went to the thrift store because he was trying to come up. Now, that hit a general note that everybody could grab a hold of and saying, yeah, I hear you. I'm trying to come up. You know?
Yeah.
So when you think about the artistry and the lyrics, to have a fan base, you've got to figure out how you can get people to follow into what you've said and embrace it with, you know, that's like Lil Wayne put out that slow song, Learn to Love. Now, out of Lil Wayne, all that Lil Wayne has done, that one song brought him a numerous amount of fans because everybody's made the mistake when it came to love. You know, and he came out with that song even though he can't sing. But the words and the music and the song, it was like magic because you could relate to that. You know, now I'm an elder, see, so for me to relate to Lil Wayne, it took a lot. But when I heard that song, I went, whoa, you know, and it's like the artist, when I said the word, they have to have a magic. There is something that brings the best out and they're going to glow. You know, when I started, there was a whole bunch of people that wanted to be in the music industry and wanted contracts. And they got signed, but they didn't go anywhere because there wasn't that second part of them that's necessary to be in that mainstream and get that following. You know, they put out albums, they did that, there weren't big sales and what have you, and the contract was dissolved after a year, you know, because they just didn't have any marketability. So, you know, when we say, hey, you know, to the young folks, and I guess that's why I keep looking through the group that come through, you know, and I'm going, which one? Which one's got that? Because as a producer, when you hear it, you know it. There's something that happens, you know, and, I think there needs to be a panel of critics like we have right here that we could sit down and kind of give them that nudge or that point of understanding what they've got to bring to become successful.
Well, I thought, like, out of the whole Cash Money group, I knew even in Lil Wayne's young days that he was going to be the star out of that entire group. Like, he stood out even when he was 15, 16 years old because he was young, but he gave a lot more, you know, growing up listening to BG, you know what I'm saying, Juvenile. They didn't have diversity in their topics. And I think it came down to a lot of, just like you're talking about Lil Wayne now, he does the Learn How to Love thing because he's diverse enough to say, okay, I've done all this. I've done the street songs. I've done this type of songs. I've done the drug songs. Now let me try a little something different because I am able to. And a lot of artists don't even know what they're able to do. They just want to do music. Don't even know song structure. just like what Christian said, just writing songs, writing words, and don't even know the song structure, the beginning, the middle, and the end part of the song. They're just saying stuff.
True.
Actually, to make a comment on Lil Wayne, I know you made a comment about how you said Lil Wayne can't sing, but to me, what makes a great voice is when you become completely comfortable with what your voice can do, and that's where Wayne is. That's why he can get on a track and sing on it. And it may not be like R&B level. It may not be like a singing voice to that nature, but it sounds good to me. Because number one, he does know what pitch is. He does know what key is. He's not off key. And he knows how to make his voice fluctuate in a way where it sounds authentic. Like, it's not about really being, it's not about having the perfect voice. It's about that emotion, that genuine emotion behind what you're saying. And that's what separates the great artist from the okay artist. And that's what Lil Wayne does. When you hear him rap or you hear him sing, you know he's being completely honest with what he feels. He's not filtering anything. It's just raw emotion, and however it comes out, it's going to come out that way. And he's delivering it at 100%. He's not holding back. I feel like a lot of underground artists, they hold back. And you can hear it in the tone of voice. Like, a lot of people don't even know exactly how they want the words to come out. They go in the booth, and they're trying to figure it out in the booth. And I'm like, you're supposed to know, you're supposed to connect with the words and connect with the cadences and how you're going to deliver your words. And that's what translates through the song, and that's how we receive it as the listener. So I actually dig Lil Wayne. I've never had anything bad to say about Wayne, even when he started singing, because I just always hear that genuine emotion behind what he's saying. And he completely come into his voice, and he allows his voice to evolve. That's another thing. A lot of people's voice never evolves. They do the same thing over and over and over. Lil Wayne has found a way to allow his voice to evolve with the way that music has also evolved, with the different sounds and things that have been going on with people singing and rapping. Like, he's just a complete artist. He's creative, and he addresses real topics.
All right. Hey, Frenchie, I tell you, I really like you guys doing what you're doing right now. You guys are very passionate about what you're saying, about these artists. You're passionate about your statement when it comes to evaluating talent. And I think these are some key notes in which we need to talk about as industry insiders to actually improve what's happening in today's game. That's why tonight, that's how we exist. We do accept music at our website, www.hiphopnational.com. Anybody you know who's trying to get into the game, you want to have them be a part of what we're doing now. www.hiphopnational.com. I kind of silenced everybody, Mike, for just a moment, guys, because at each half, I go to a break, so just to give you guys a heads up. www.hiphopnational.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all stay with us.
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development, website hosting, internet audio presentation, voiceovers, professional beat production, publicity, radio and record promotion, consulting, corporate identity, event planning and promoting, printing, graphic design, CD pressing and duplication, voice on hold, radio commercial production, TV commercial production, video production, call conversion, contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip-hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip-hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development. Also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. advertising, marketing, and promotions. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
All right, guys, we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight, as you know, we're talking about why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it into the mainstream? Well, I'm going to tell you guys, it's my opinion, and I'm going to give you mine, and I want to get your thoughts. I think music is meant to be heard, and it's not meant to be silenced. I mean, we're living in a society where we have a diverse amount of people, and certain words yield to the ears of certain groups of people, and certain words yield to have a universal message. Now, my opinion, I believe profanity limits the markability of a song. I'm not saying that it does. It's how you use the word, what you're saying in the word. And in the example of many of the songs that we had a few minutes ago, they use the N-word several times. You tell me, do you see an expansive market for that? If music is meant to be heard and not silenced, this is my opinion, a whole of your music. And you may be the most talented next talent to be come out. But if the first thing come out your mouth is words that's not so attractive, you may miss the opportunity because that executive might be listening to your song, might have finally got to your song, but it may be in his car while all his children is there. You put your music on a CD, finally he gets to yours, he plays it, the moment he hears what he's doing, like Raw Dog said, he ejects it, he gives it 10 seconds, boom, he ejects it. Do you think it limits the marketability? I'm going to start with you, Dylan, hadn't heard from you for a minute, and then we'll go around. If you would like to participate in tonight's topic, please press the number 1. That way we'll know that you also want to be a part of tonight's topic. Dylan, you got the floor.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir.
You got me?
You got the floor.
Okay. What I think about the vulgar, I guess, language, as far as profane language, I think it doesn't have an effect because there are a lot of corporate giants who sign artists that have that same image of, you could use a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying, that use a lot of profanity language. A lot of guys nowadays that are out on a higher level, Amigos, they have songs with N-words in them. So I think it depends on you as a personal person, what you would like to hear. It might not be marketable to you, but maybe to the next corporate giant or the next person, they're comfortable with that. So, I mean, I play a lot of music as well on my show, and I let them have free reigns because I guess growing up where I come from, I've heard that a lot as well. So it's not necessarily the words that are used within the song. It's more, to me, more so it's the quality of the song. You know, all these guys, I mean, we got close to billionaires who use profanity language, from Jay-Z to Diddy to Dr. Dre to Snoop Dogg, and they've used the talent that they have to have more subject in the song, more so than just the words of the song.
Dylan, I got to say this. I agree with you. But now, this is my agreement is only on a limited basis. Some of the people that you mentioned, those people are already there. Don't get me wrong. They're not trying to get into this business. And there's other opportunities. There's other opportunities within this business outside of mainstream radio, which is you got You got concert halls that plays music while they're on break. You have big stadiums that plays music as they put on expos, and they have to pay for this. You have commercial TV. You have videos. Okay,
you're right.
These are markets that we can get into, but I'm just saying, if your introduction, and since we go in there because we did it in the beginning of the show, if your first introduction is, my nigga, what's up, when everybody on the earth is saying the same thing, where's your originality?
Yeah, but it depends on who the person is that they're saying that to.
I got to say this. Those guys are smart enough to have two versions. They're smart enough to have a version that doesn't have nigga in it.
Well, I don't think
the marketability is
on
two sides of it. Because I'm going to tell you like this. I've heard a lot of rap songs that I was surprised when I saw something of them doing it live. They had profanity in it. So, see, when we talk about that, you have to be smart enough to have two sides of the coin. You know, for those that will accept the N-word or whatever words they want to add to it, that's just like CeeLo. CeeLo, now there's a prime example. He had a song that was mainstream, and he changed the word in it for radio, and then he put the F-word in it when he was doing it in front of certain crowds. Because on the Grammys, he didn't put the F-word in it.
Yeah, he said F-U instead of the actual word. But you're talking about somebody who's been in the industry for 20 years at this point.
Yeah, but see, smart enough to peddle
with two
versions.
You think CeeLo in 1994 would have known to do what he did in 2014, though?
Well, let's put it like this.
It goes back to his backing.
Let's put it like this.
At the beginning.
You learn from the best. Don't learn from the worst. Learn from the best. When you see that he has two versions of it and you're living in the year 2014, isn't it time to adapt so you can make that money on both sides?
But that has something to do with the circle that you got managing you as well to say, hey, just like even with the songs you played earlier.
That's not necessarily the circle. I can't say that that's the circle.
Well, there's
the package of the entertainer that wants to make it, the intelligence. See, you got to have intelligence because, you see, as that artist and what have you, you have to be smart enough to understand what you're getting into.
The team is going to
back you, but if the artist isn't smart enough, then he becomes a puppet, and then he doesn't become as successful as he wants to be.
But that's why we got the industry that we have now, though. Because a lot of artists aren't smart enough to understand that for themselves, and they take on managers who have either good intentions or bad intentions. We've dealt with a lot of artists coming up from 2008 on up to now that have had bad management that has pushed them to outside of somebody like a CeeLo Green or a Big Crit or whatever to have more content in their song and say, hey, let's do this way. Matter of fact, because I manage two artists myself, I always tell them, if I feel like it's a radio-ready song, I say I need a clean version of that. And my guys don't even have too much profound language in their songs anyways. So editing of that song, you don't have to put too much into it. Probably two or three words, and it's radio-ready. It's already mixed and mastered. It's ready to take to the radio station or whoever we're pushing it to. Therefore, if we in the streets, we can push the street version. If we're somewhere with some more corporate people, but somebody like me might understand that. But if you got an artist who like Richard was saying, they're just doing it and doesn't have any understanding of it and just doing it, they might not understand this. So it comes back, I think it does come back to your circle because you have to have quality of people around you to say, this is the development of an artist, not just who you want to do this for yourself, not your homeboys that you grew up with, because this is a business. You got to expand your horizons outside of your block. But a lot of artists don't understand that.
Well, I agree with that. You know, there's some that are teachable, and then there's some that's not going to learn. You know, I accept what you're saying, you know, because you're right on that. But then I've tried to take the time with artists to say, hey, what if you leave out that and you make a copy? oh, man, you, and we've got this over the radio. Oh, I don't want to dumb down. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. You just dumbed
up. That's the thing. Now, can I chime in? See, that's the thing.
Go ahead.
I feel like it's a lot to ask an artist to change who they are, because as an artist, we love it because we get to say what we want. We get to express what we want creatively. And when you start talking about going mainstream, now you're going from being centered on the art to more centered on business and who you're reaching. Like, you're trying to reach the largest audience. Now, to go back to the topic of how cursing cuts your audience down, it definitely does cut the amount of people you can reach. Basically, the main demographic that you're cutting off is younger people, kids, because you're going to have – that's why you have parental advisory stickers. You have parents who want to now keep your music away from young people because it's not appropriate. Now, I don't think just because you're cursing you can't go mainstream, because it happens all the time. There's cursing all over mainstream. Kids can go on YouTube right now and listen to a bunch of songs in the mainstream that have curse words in them. But I think the real conversational point is an artist willing to change who they are in order to please a mass amount of people? And that's what a lot of artists aren't willing to do. And I can understand that. Because, like, me personally, I've never cussed in my music. That's just who I am, though. Like,
right.
Nobody told me not to cuss in my music. That's just what I come from. Like, in my household, I don't curse around my parents. So when I got into music and I started writing songs, they would be the first people to hear them. So it's in me to be like, all right, I'm gonna watch what I say. I'm going to watch how I say it. And that's part of who I am. So nobody has to tell me not to cuss. But when you have an artist who's from the streets, who's used to living a vulgar lifestyle, a dirty lifestyle where people say what they want and do what they want, that finds its way into the music. Now, they bring that into the music, and that can reach a lot of people. But then it gets to a point where, okay, you can only reach so many people wording your thoughts that way. So then it becomes, all right, are you going to change so that you can reach more people, or are you just going to continue to do what you do the way you want to do it and not be able to reach as many people as you want? And then that's up to the artist. Some people are willing to change who they really are, and some people aren't.
That's true. That's very, very true. You know, and then there's the separation of, you know, that's like a racehorse. You know, hey, it looks good. It seems to run good. But now, is it going to be that champion? Is it going to be that winner? You know, or is it just going to be another racehorse that runs a lot of races, but it's not the horse to put your money on? See, as a producer, I find that to be the situation, you know, and I don't try to discourage anybody. I try to encourage them. And then, you know, the thing about it is that I try to mentor them to understand that they want to be able to be heard by the masses. Anybody, like you said, mother, father, grandmother, uncle, aunt, your daughter, you know. We had a gentleman that called in from Georgia, John Lowe. He made the statement that, hey, you know, on one of our other shows, he said, well, hey, say your lyrics to your daughters, to your daughter, and look her in the eye. You know, and that was such a profound statement, because it was a point one that you have to realize there's a reflection that's going to come back on you, the artist, anyway. You know, I feel that everybody can grow and to become that individual that's necessary to be that proper character if they want to be in the music industry. To understand having two, you know, if you're going to have explicit, have clean. You know, because success is what they want. You know, and I understand that we all on this panel right now know curse words and have probably said them in our past. But timing is a point. At this point, we can't pull those words out of each other. This is not the place. I think that the mainstream, to get to the mainstream, you have to realize, is this the place that I'm trying to go? And is that the way I want to present myself? In front of money, you know, because that's what we after, you know. Artists are after money. I mean, you know, if you go to McDonald's with a joint behind your ear, are they going to let you work? Think about it. You know, that's just the presentation that either it's acceptable and it's going to take you far, or it's going to get you ousted or looked at in a bad light.
I want to say something. I think Dylan said something earlier about, you know, the ones that, you know, the mainstream guys right now that's presenting this material to us. I gotta agree with you, and Rado, you said it too, that they got a clean version too as well. But you got to understand, and I'm kind of mixing up a few things that I heard tonight. I think Frenchie said they're becoming clones. But are we becoming clones based on are we becoming clones based on what we hear already, and we're not presenting originality? Because originality is what makes you different. It makes you. It's to me what attracts me to you over everybody else that's out there in that sea.
Go ahead.
Wait. Hold on, Rada. If you're bringing exactly what I'm already hearing out there in the mainstream, you're not different.
That's right. Mm. I was thinking the same thing.
Formula
I think
that
you can
music
hear.
is made to do. See, the whole point of it is, you know, we got to look at the real point of music. Music is made to give an emotion, to give motivation, to give romance, to give possibly a peace of mind. You know, do these fit in any of those categories? You know, does it make people dance, you know, hearing about a Glock and, you know, this girl and what have you? Was it really danceable? Where could you play it at? Other than if he's in the room saying, play my song, you're not going to put it on.
But I think that's the mentality of a lot of these younger artists today. I think that is their mentality. You got to understand the lifestyle of somebody that's making that type of song. The lifestyle of somebody that's making that type of song has born and raised in the hood, and more than likely, probably not, more than likely, has not been anywhere outside of their hood to understand diversity and the world outside of their hood. So they think they're doing it when they're only getting their music played in the hood. So they don't have even a mental mind state to say, what more can I do? Who else can I get this to? I'm getting it right here on the block on A Street over here where I'm slinging this dope, where I got these women, and they're comfortable with their popularity within themselves. Now, when they want to grow and it takes more, just like you was talking about earlier, dumbing down, Jay-Z said, I dumb down for my audience and double my dollars. So are you going to actually take what it takes to do that? Because it's going to take you changing who you actually are. If you're going to stay the street dude, stay the street dude. But if you're going to go do the music is business. And I think that's what they don't understand.
Woo, ring the bell. He hit the nail on the head on that one.
I think he hit it on the head.
It's about the money.
Say,
it's not about the ego.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a lack of understanding and knowledge with artists, and even with a lot of companies. You know, it's got a lot of startup people, and you know, if you don't get a Universal deal, if you don't get a Def Jam deal, you got to do a lot by yourself. And I think that they really don't understand, you know. And me, manager, I had to learn a lot of stuff myself. You know what I'm saying? That I'm still gathering as a manager myself, even with my guy. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of different artists. I've even seen Frenchie as an artist perform. Great. Hey,
yep.
I've seen that young man move the whole club. I don't know if he was supposed to be in there. I've seen him personally move a whole club, and he has none of the foul language, just like he said.
Yep.
So.
Well, you know what? Now, there you go. Now, there's a part of understanding an entertainer. See, there's two sides to him. It's just not something he can do in the studio. It's something he can do on stage. You know, and so when you start to talk about the magic and what they bring, because people go out to be entertained. This is not a joke. We're not going out here to idolize somebody, you know, while they're on stage. We're going out here to hear talent and to be entertained. And, you know, that's part of the formula that makes the complete package. You might get somebody great in the studio but dead on the stage, you know. So it's a hit and miss because of the fact, you know, those of us that have been on stage, you know, there's always the butterflies. No matter how good you are, there's the butterflies. And those butterflies actually perpetuate you to being, when them lights go on and the curtain opens, hey, there's another character that steps out of you that the people see. You know, it's funny because until that happens, you don't realize he's there. You know, and this is something that I have seen the failing of a lot of the young rappers coming out. That character doesn't step out in them. The butterflies get them, and all they do is go through it in a sterile point, not giving them a show or entertaining them, but just going through the motions of the production of that song while they're on stage. You know, when we think about Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson gave you that magic that God gave him. You know, when that spotlight came on, you didn't know what to expect, but you didn't take your eyes off of the stage because he was up there to entertain you. You know, so when we start talking about these young hip-hop guys, you know, they get up there with a microphone and they turn to the DJ and say, hit it, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. The microphone didn't move. He stood right there. What is it I'm paying for? You know, you start to question how you're spending your money. And see, hip-hop is one of the hardest because a lot of artists do perform with DJs. And so, therefore, you know, you when you spend $20 to get in someplace or to go and see a show, and that's all you're getting, well, sometimes you come out of there feeling shortchanged. Money's hard to come by, you know, and you want that person when they leave to feel they got their money's worth. You know, when you're done, you want them to want more, and you leave them wanting more, so they'll come back for more. You know, so it's a lot that goes with understanding how to become that full package so that you can be marketable in this industry. Because, you know, a production can bring money, but then, okay, hey, a performance can bring money. You know, make the money and you'll be what you need to be in this industry and you'll have a smile. Take it away, Poetic.
All right, guys. We're getting ready to go to a short, brief break. Go to www.hiphopnational.com. And upload your music today. And if you got artists, like I heard both of you guys here say that you guys deal with artists, please have them go to www.hiphopnational.com. We would love to take part in their music as they take a part in our show. Also, I wanted to say this tonight, guys. We are talking about why do you think most unsigned artists are not making into the mainstream. I think everybody across the board has got the consensus across the board that the artists today need to raise the bar by some of the things that the content is very important. Now, when we come back, I want to ask you guys this question. Do you believe that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end in a song? And if the beginning is the opening piece of a song, how important is it so we can get to the middle and the end? When we get back, we'll be talking about that. We'll be going to a brief break. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotions. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today.
radio.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number.
And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555.
That's 877-580-8555.
Hip Hop National Radio,
your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion.
Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio.
We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. Do you believe there's a beginning, a middle, and an end? I'm going to start with you, Twyla. I want to hear what you have, your thoughts. Twyla, you have the floor.
Oh, well, sure. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end. But I just wanted to ask the question about when the guys, just like Rodolph was letting us listen to the gentlemen that had called in and sent their music. And you can hear that they're, like, all over the place, you know. And you can tell that they need some guidance in their music. So when they do call in to want, you know, they want their music to be heard, in what way do you direct them in communicating with them to let them know that they you know, to kind of get them in order or to help them, you know, to be able to promote their music in a decent way and let them know how they need to clean up or change. And changing, you know, like, you know, as far as the cussing, is that so much changing them? Is that changing them?
No. I'll say this, Twyla, and I'm going to open up everybody's line, but I'm going to say this. It's not just a word in which you use. You can mm-hmm. use a word more in one way than the other. Don't get me wrong. Say the word ass, it has kind of different meanings to it. If you tell somebody to kiss my, you just pointed them in a direction that was very negative. Okay?
I'm about to say this.
I'm working my ass off. I'm working my ass off. You just use the same word, right?
Right. I can relate to that.
Mercy, never say that no more.
I'm just saying, you're using, don't get me wrong, people use the word my nigga a lot. But they use it in terms, some use it in terms of a degree, and some just overuse the word extraordinarily for its irritating.
Yeah.
I think to ask an artist, am I on? Okay.
Yeah.
I think to ask an artist not to curse, mm-hmm. It's invading on their creativity. Because as an artist, you just want to be able to create with no filter. So, like, when I was younger, I used to be like, man, they cuss too much. They need to watch what they say. But that's because that's what I come from. But, like, now that I've gotten older, I have a different way of viewing it. Like, just because somebody's cursing doesn't mean they're trying to be negative. It doesn't mean they don't want their music to touch people. They're just being who they are. As an artist, that's all you can do as an artist is be true to who you are, and whoever it touches, that's who it touches.
But some of them are not really being who they are. They are mimicking other people. They're trying to, you know, they're trying, they know they feel like they got talent. Some of them mm-hmm. do, and some of them don't. And so basically they're trying to act out. It's like what I was listening to, it just sounded like they were trying hard. And they thought, you know, they were just saying, they were just all over the place to me. I mean, I got a headache. listen to some of it.
But, well, let me
I mean,
say
I'm
this.
Just being honest.
Let me say
and, then,
this.
And I felt bad because I felt those, like they needing the guidance, you know. And not saying that they're not talented or anything, but even so, they still need, I think they need that help. Because I know y'all knowing or helping people to produce music, y'all got that ear. You have that ear. Some of y'all have the ear, and you can hear that. Not saying, like y'all said, that they don't have talent, but you can hear that they're just out of control. Like they,
okay,
it's
wait,
just
wait,
all,
wait,
they're
wait,
all,
wait.
All over the place.
I'm gonna give you the answer to that one. Some people grow up and they learn, and it doesn't take them long. And some people continue to bump their head into the brick wall.
Right.
See, what you have here is a crab mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, what I mean is that, you know, so many think it's right. Okay. But they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about mainstream, let's talk globally. Let's just talk globally. Let's talk to the aborigines that doesn't want to hear the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
But James Brown went all the way around the world, and all he had to say is, get on up. The music played. There was no beginning, and there was no middle, and there was no end. There was talent. So what happens here is...
That was great music, too, besides just James Brown.
Yeah, but wait a minute now. What I'm trying to say is this. It doesn't take all the words. It takes the talent.
Yeah.
And when you're putting somebody on top of music, it has to be a talented individual. A lot of the young folks are picking up tracks from here, over there, here, there, what have you, and they're trying to put something on that track.
Yeah.
Well, the track stands for itself. If it was that outstanding, they liked it. They're paying money for somebody else's track that if we played it on the radio without their lyrics, you might like the music. But when they put the lyrics and what have you and the N-word and this and that and the other and what have you, you're not going to like it. You don't get a chance to like it because you've got one thing that's a negative and then you've got something that's a positive. See, what's happened, that's in hip-hop. Now, if you talk about any other genres of music, they really don't have to worry about that. They really don't have to worry about that. The talent has to be there. The lyrics are on mark. You know, they're what they're supposed to be. Hip-hop is the only renegade genre. And guess what? It's
what
okay,
does that mean?
But yet we have to
like
figure
it.
Out how does the money come to the artist? Go ahead.
Can you explain what you mean by renegade?
Well, okay.
It sounded interesting, but I want to.
They're going against
the FCC. They don't
the
have
FCC.
To take no responsibility for what they say. They're just reckless and can say anything, and it's all in the sake of music when it's really not.
I think part of that comes from where hip-hop was originated. It was originated in the streets where people didn't have anything, and that was their tool to speak and to get their feelings out. So I think that's why we have a lot of these artists nowadays who are trying to mimic that type of culture, because that's hip-hop culture. It comes from the streets.
It's more of an image.
But then it took it to a whole other level.
But wasn't hip-hop created because they cut back on the school music programs? So the young people, instead of being able to create the music, they started playing the records and doing their own thing to the records, because that's the way I remember hip-hop being created, is because there was no musical outlet in the schools. They took away that because they stopped
they
the funding.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's still some people, they don't get the publicity that the actual artists get, because the beats come from somewhere. So there are people who make music, or we wouldn't be listening to none. You know, so it's just the producers don't get the promotions that they should. You know what I'm saying?
Wasn't the first hip-hop, weren't they using samples?
Yeah. Hip hop is.
Okay.
A lot of hip hop is built on sound.
Okay. But sample. See, there's the catch to it. That it was all new, and it was they were coming under the radar because they didn't have the computer programs to say, well, you can't use that other person's music. So they came under the radar making their money, and it was new. You know, but now hip-hop, unless people understand that other side of it, I'm going to ask you, what happened to psychedelic music? It
it's
fades
out there.
Its way out.
It's
if
there.
We don't help
don't
these artists understand, you're going to have crossovers like Nelly and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I saw T.I. with a metal group, and he was doing his song on a television show. They're going to have to migrate into understanding that this is to stay and be relevant. They're going to have to understand the science. FCC won't let you play a lot of the songs with those words in it, of negativity and cursing, because it's against FCC regulations. Isn't that right?
But FCC, yep. Don't you think FCC lifted that regulation on Raw Dog? Because this is my
No,
thing.
They didn't.
And
no, they didn't. And thank God they didn't.
Wait.
No, thank God they didn't, because I'm playing the radio when I drive down the street, and my daughter's
dude,
in the car.
You're not hearing it. I'm in Miami, and I tell you like this. If you hear the stuff that's on our mainstream radio right now, you'll think you're listening to Underground.
They want you
mm-hmm.
to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
They
want you
guys to be,
underground.
They want you guys
I'm
to be wild. I don't hear that up here. I'm up in the north. I'm in Washington State. I don't hear that stuff. And guess what?
Check this out. I turned to 106 and Park probably about a month ago, and the number one song on 106 and Park was Future, Young Negro Move That Dope.
Okay, well, see, I don't get 106 and Park out
here. Yeah, I don't even look at it either. I just flip through it, and I saw him say, yeah, number one song, Future, Young, move that dope. And I'm like, wow, this is the number one. I got two sons as well, so we're looking at it from a parental standpoint and maybe more adult standpoint.
Yeah.
When we talk about new artists who, come on, man, we grew up on N.W.A.
Hey, can I say this real quick, guys? Let me say this real quick. You inflate a balloon to its maximum. Eventually, that balloon is going to pop. And don't get me wrong. I think that's what the FCC is allowing in our rap community. Let it blow up, because we want it to dissolve.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Exactly.
And they want to have that track.
We gotta call her real quick. Let's see what. And guys, I'm gonna be prepared because sometimes people call into the show to destroy the show. I'm not saying that this is the case. Evil Lunch PL, welcome to Hip Hop National. Give me your statement.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Evil Lunch PL.
Evil Uncle
right.
Phil. Yeah.
Evil Uncle Phil. Have you been listening to the show?
I've listened in for the past minute, and it's the subject of what do you think most unsigned artists are not doing, are not making it into the mainstream. I think.
Where you calling in from, Evil Lunch Phil? Where you calling in from?
I'm calling in from England.
Guys, understand, we reach all leaps and bounds right here on Hip Hop National. Go ahead, talk to me. Tell me, what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, generally, well, first off, sir, I haven't earned that honor quite yet. Wait until my opinion is heard, and if it's good, then call me sir, but if it's bad, call me a four-letter word. But I like to think that, basically, the one thing that's missing out is that hip-hop needs to die so that rap can become original again. I think if you look at the biggest hip-hop tracks that have really taken over, they have done something original. And the reason that rappers go to rock or metal is that you look at Public Enemy versus Anthrax with Kill the Noise, I think the song is. But there are other, I think it's just generally on the fact of exploring new options, because whenever I listen to unsigned artists, they generally tend to have a basic beat, a basic melody, and the rap over it. It tends to be a generic kind of thing going over it. And I think that it's not about censorship of the artists. I think they just need to become more creative. I think they need to bring in more of... When they bring in their own lyrics, they need to think about what music they want to bring in. I think that the rappers who have really done well for themselves are the guys who understand chord progression and time signature. These are the guys who will turn around and say, at this part, we don't want to make it a standard 4-4. We want to make it a 3-8. We want to speed it up a little. We want to screw with people's heads. We want to make them go, why is that something that works, but it doesn't sound like it shouldn't work? And I think it's the case of rappers need to be original. Rappers do not need to just concentrate on lyrics alone. Rappers need to think about if they want a basic beat, a basic melody, if they want an orchestra involved, because in the digital age you can actually get technology that can give you a full orchestra. You can have a rock band. You can even do rap to dubstep. You can basically rap to J-pop if you want to. And it's the fact of doing something original. I think, case in point, the one song for me, I cannot remember the name of it, but it was 50 Cent, and it was just the sound of that Atari 2600. Got bra 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 bra, because it sounded like... It was such a retro track with modern lyrics to it. It was such a different way to go with it. No one had done that before 50 Cent. It was just that song. I cannot remember the name of the song. But
Wankster?
It may have been, yeah. But it was just such a great song because it was something so different. With rappers going to look into the rock world, I would suggest that rappers may want to look into other worlds, and rappers may not want to concentrate on lyrics alone. They may want to look into music production and maybe looking into these actual programs so they don't have to rely on producers to make this. They may want to be able to just sit there and say, I can do this myself. I want to go full DIY, and you've never heard anything like this before. It's originality, and I think that's why hip-hop needs to die so that rap can live. It's the same thing when hair metal died back in the 80s, so metal could live.
And I somewhat understand what he's saying, because the rappers try to beat completely all over the tune that they're doing, and they're not sharing the production. They don't have that other musical side that's got some strength to it that's going to carry the people. You know, you don't have to use a whole bunch of words, the right words and the music, you know, and I understand what he's saying, because you want more than just to hear the voice. You want the production to mean something and sound like something.
Yeah, and
you know,
it's not even the production. It's more about the fact that if a rapper can sit in front of a piano or pick up a guitar, they can say the most brutal, horrific things that they want to. But if they build it in such a way that makes it original to them, no one else has that sound but them. And
I understand the originality also. Yeah.
And that's our
point.
But
a lot of them don't possess that side. So, see,
I think the main point
we're working with people is sharing the stage and being able to bring other talents within it makes that a better package for them. You know, longevity in the industry and what have you, and becoming a valuable entertainer. Because, you know, hearing the product is one thing, but then the production itself.
Yeah.
Seeing the ensemble, to understanding the work behind it as you watch them perform it. You know, that also makes them amazing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the one thing that I would think that would make them great is for example, if they decided to go full Lamb of God metal, like really, really, because a lot of the rappers have gone rock, but they haven't gone full metal. But when they do the live show, what they do is they do the same song twice. At the start of the show, they do that full metal version, and then halfway through the show, they have that same band come on and do a jazz version, or a blues version, or a bluegrass version. So they actually change up the track, and they change the tempo of the track, and just bring something interesting, just bring something to make the crowd go, holy crap, and just make them kind of go, we're the only crowd to ever hear this. And then every night on stage, they have their standard version, and they have this custom version for a crowd. They give them something that they don't expect.
You know what? In the United States, we call that owning what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, to own it, you can twist it, you can present it in this fashion, and you twist it, and it changes over, and you're hearing the song with the twist, and they're taking you on a journey to make it an event. So
exactly.
That when you're seeing them, you go, wow, you had to be there. They were off the hook. In other words, to own your what you do and being able to show that, and no one else can do that.
Yeah, and if a rapper plays an instrument, then a rapper can turn around and say, I know how to write this in multiple different formats, and I can change the composition to match any style of music you want. And
exactly.
For them to do that, it would just give every new crowd they go to a different style of the song. So they do a version of the song at the start of it, and then as an encore, they give them... They hear the same song twice.
Jay-Z actually did that. Jay-Z did that because he had redid one of his albums with Limp Bizkit.
Right.
But that's the growth.
That was Linkin Park. It wasn't Limp Bizkit. It was Linkin Park. I remember that.
Linkin Park. That's right. Linkin Park. Thank you for correcting me.
You know what? He's also done Unplugged with acoustical instruments. His song.
We're talking about Jay-Z here. Let's go to the independent artist or the unsigned artist. I think it goes back to them wanting to put the work in for their product and needing the direction, which goes back to you wanting to put into your product for growth.
Yeah, I think the original thing about rap that was so amazing is that you didn't look for a producer to give you direction. You looked at a producer to give you input. And rap has just changed in such a way that you look at a producer and you say, oh, he's a big producer, he needs to give me direction. At which point you need to turn around and go, well, I'm not only a rapper, I'm also a musician. So you don't give me direction, just give me input. And I work around that. And that is where rap needs to go back to. It needs to go back to grassroots. It needs to go back to that original feeling of, we came up with this with ourselves. You're here to help us improve that sound. You're not here to tell us what to do with it.
Right. I think the real problem is that the decline in the quality of music lately, to me, is a result of how easy it is to make music now.
Yeah.
Anybody can literally make music without knowing how to play an instrument. So, especially in rap, because rap really isn't driven by music. It's just... Yeah. You can put rap on anything. You don't even have to understand music. As long as you can write some words and rhyme them, and the dudes start rhyming, okay, I can rap.
I'm going to say something right now that I may end up regretting, but at this point I'm saying it right now. I am a guitarist. I am a bassist. I am a vocalist. I have the ability to play these instruments. I would like people to get in touch so I can help you create your vision for what the music should be. Don't just think about the lyrics. Think about what the beat should be. Think about how you think it should sound, how it should build, how it should grow, how it should hit that ultimate crescendo where it should be. When you look at someone like Kanye West, the reason that he's so successful is as much as I hate his guts because he's such an arrogant scumbag, musically he knows what he's doing. So as an artist, I think he's great, but as a human being, I think he's a goddamn scumbag, and I would be the first to call him out on it, and I'm sure he'd scream in my face. And the only thing I think is, well, dude, I'm a metalhead. I'm going to scream right back in your face, and then you're going to get a jaw full of me.
I like this guy, man.
I know. He thinks we don't understand. We know.
Yeah. But when it comes down to
it, eye with this cat, man.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, I just think, you know what, if you think you know better than me, fine, but, you know, don't try and call me out on it, because I'll sit here and go, well, you do know I can play guitar solos, and then I'll hand them the guitar and kind of go, so, what can you do? And then watch them fumble around and look like asses. And then, but that's, it really is. It's about rappers becoming poets who happen to be musicians. Rappers seem to think that they have to be a rapper. No, stop being a rapper. Be a poet who is proficient in music.
True. Because
see,
they're trying to get into the music industry. They're not trying to get into the spoken word category. They're trying to be an artist in the music industry, and they need to understand that that's part of that package that they have to come with. That, you know, that they don't realize that, you know, there's multi dimensions to that package. You may not be the best pianist, you may not be the best guitar or bass player, but at least have a good understanding.
Yeah, you can be
of
the
what they might do.
Yeah, you can be the worst pianist in the world, but you can still come up with a composition for what you want to hear when your song goes along, and all you have to do is just play the note.
Exactly, poetic is that.
I got to ask you guys here: is it necessary? Now, you guys saying that they should be able to play the instrument. Suppose they can't play the instrument, but they can match their tunes to the instrument. They can get with the person who can help set them on key and give them the right guidance, so they can manipulate the sound. Everybody is not born with the same ability.
Well, that's true, and I do tend to agree with you. What can I say? When I first started playing guitar, someone handed me a bass guitar and just turned around to me and said, yeah, you're really not cut out for actual guitar. It's a bass. And if it wasn't for that bass, I wouldn't be able to play the bitching solos that I can now. But at the same time,
now, can I ask you this, Uncle Phil? Can you rap? Can you just get up and rap today?
Oh, God, no. I'm terrible.
Okay, all right. Now, and I'm going to go here. Can you sing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, God gave you that gift. All I'm saying is, today, what we're trying to do is to shape the young man's mind to doing something that could get them into the marketplace so they can spread their wings eventually.
Yeah.
So they can fly, fly. But everybody are not born with the same crafts.
Which is fair enough. And at which point I would turn around and say, if you are in school over in the States, when you look at those band kids, don't look at those band kids as nerds. Look at them as creative artists who can give you something mind-blowingly wonderful. And maybe go and speak to them and hear where their craft comes from and try to understand them and then build a relationship with them, because they may end up being the savior to what you want to do in rap, as opposed to
I agree with that.
Because those band kids are the most talented kids at school, and no one gives them the credit they deserve. I'm saying the band kids, the guys on the trumpets, the guys on the pianos, these guys who are trained in music composition. Because
the only reason we didn't understand you is your accent. I understood it. But you know what? By being around those individuals, that artist can become more familiar with music composition.
And he can learn it, and he can just build up a relationship with these people. And these people may end up working with the artist very closely in trying to create the music that they want to rap to. So at that point, and the other thing that I will say, when it comes to independent artists, the one thing that annoys me is these independent artists trying to tell me how much money they actually have.
I'll say this. You say that and people laugh, but reality, they're just being copycats of the cat.
Yeah.
Instead of
how much Jay-Z has.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. And all I say is, if you're going to be a true rapper, the original Trey rappers rapped about how much money they had or how little they had. The original rappers rapped about how little they had and how disgruntled and how angry and how bitter and how hate-filled they were for having such a little chance, considering the skill they had.
But the industry has changed that image of what's a good rapper, though. Like
because Macklemore just hit Grammys and what have you, and he talked about going to the thrift store with $20 trying to come up.
He talked about the same thing, but in a different light.
No, you have to, look, the reason why a lot of people don't break into mainstream is because that's their goal. They look at mainstream and they want to be that, so they mimic that. That's not how you get there. You have to tap into your own creativity as an artist. Just because you can get on a song, it doesn't mean you're a musician or that you're an artist or that you have that inner fuel, that fire inside of you that can bring that type of passion to a song.
NWA and Public Enemy were great examples of that. I fully agree.
Yeah,
and I agree with that, but that was then, and we're talking something that's already been done.
Yes,
and we're saying there's a new horizon, and just like we're talking globally right now, in England, we're trying to understand how do we get to England?
All right.
How do we get our music played over there?
Can I get you guys' attention just for a second? I want to pause for the calls. We're not going to break. But I want everybody to go to www.hiphopnational.com, link up with us, upload your music today. We're looking for if you guys like to be sponsors of our program, we're looking for that too. We have a donation button at the very bottom of the page to the right, to the left of the page. Check it out.
Distribution. Yeah.
And distribution, guys. We have distribution, and we can help get your stuff out there on a massive scale. So,
all right.
Hook up with us. www.hiphopnational.com.
All right. You want to do something that makes you big in the rap industry? Right now, when it comes down to indie guys who are big, George Watsky. He's a little nerdy Jewish kid who is one of the greatest rappers you've ever heard, because he started off being a spoken word guy, and the video that made him huge was Watsky Raps Fast. And I'm going to basically give one of you guys a link. So let me just go downstairs to the comment section, because your chat room's not open, and I will comment. But I would say, in your next break, get the video, go onto a YouTube to MP3 converter, download that, because you're going to hear a nerdy white Jewish guy do something that you have never heard before, and this is what made him special.
Let me hear that one more time.
Go down to the comments section. I've just posted something.
No. Give me the website again.
All right, George Watsky. It really is just youtube.com/watch and then the link. But I want, if you guys get the chance, I mean, you have 25 minutes remaining, so you guys have the chance to convert this to an MP3. So what I will do to
make
it...
We don't snatch any music off from any, all music that comes through through Hip Hop National has to be uploaded. We don't do it because that way we got the artist's permission to use it and play it. We don't do it no other way, actually, on this program.
The one thing about Watsky is that he puts a Creative Commons license on all of his music, so it means that you can, as long as you recognize him for who he is, as long as you turn around and say, this is Watsky, then he will quite happily let you play his music.
Yeah,
so,
but we don't. That's my point. He personally also has to become a guest on our program. We'd like to mesh with them, but we deal with people who deal with us.
All right, fair enough.
You know, and that way we kind of spreading over, and we got 1.3 million people who have tuned into the program. We've had some incredible guests here right on the show. We've had America's Got Talent, BET, Universal, Capitol Records, and a slew of major industry insiders that come on to support what we do. We bring them on here really to get this information over to the youth so we can keep music alive.
All right. Well, let me just say this. If you are an unsigned artist, I'm here over in the UK. I have access to guitars and keyboards and access to producing equipment. So if you are interested, get in touch.
Don't give that website, please. You give it to me. You can give it to me. You can give it to me behind the scenes, and that's how we connect. We connect the dots between the music industry, music artists, and music listeners.
And me and you, we
open up those doors.
As far as I'm concerned, if people want to get in touch, they get in touch with you, and they have my Skype address. It's that simple.
Okay. I see your Skype address now. After the show, you'll see Poetic coming, befriending me, and you'll talk behind the scene if you don't mind. Okay?
No, that's fine. I'm all in.
Sounds good, because we definitely want to reach that market. We definitely want to reach that market. Hey, guys, Frenchie, Dallas, I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear your thoughts based on what you've heard him say, come in. And then let's create that dialogue for the next 20 minutes on the show. What do you guys, what was your thoughts talking about the range of which an artist need to start and the perspective in which they need to approach the bench today? I'm going to start with you, French.
Well, I think the new guy, I don't know his name. What's your name, man, the dude from UK?
I'm Phil.
Phil, I think you brought some very good points, but the one that I kept with me is the fact that people have to tap into their own originality. That's what a lot of independent artists are not doing. Because before anybody starts making music on their own, they're influenced by somebody or some source. Outside source. A lot of people are influenced by what they see in the mainstream. So that's why you hear new artists come out and you can hear who they've been influenced by. Like, I've been influenced by certain artists that I grew up listening to. But as an artist, there's a point where you have to tap into your own creativity. And that's what I think a lot of artists are missing, and that's why they don't reach their own audience. Because they think people want to hear the next someone. Everybody wants to be the next Tupac, the next 2 Chainz, the next Lil Wayne, the next whoever's already famous. But you have to tap into your own potential as an artist and be able to connect with your own fan base. And that's what I think a lot of artists are missing. Like, they want to skip steps. They think it's supposed to happen quick. They want to break into mainstream, but they don't value the listeners that they already have. Like, I see independent artists online all the time that post songs and they expect people to give them feedback and expect people to listen, and they get mad when people don't listen. But then I see, like, they'll have a few comments here and there of people who are actually listening to their music, but they're not connecting with the people who are already listening to them. Like, you have to value every person who touches your music. You have to pay attention to who responds to your music, what are you saying in your music, and just really tune into who you are as a person and put that in your music.
All right.
also, can you restate the question that you brought up about, like, the beginning, middle, and end?
Oh, yes, yes. This is just my opinion. Every song has a beginning. Every song has a middle, and there's an ending. But the problem is, sometimes, to me, the prelude of the song, the introduction of that song, is sometimes distasteful enough that you never really get to the content, the real guts of the song that can make you appreciate what that song was really about, because they approach to the bench, in my opinion, their approach was not so attractive. Your thoughts?
My thoughts? I've always approached songs in a very organized way, and I've always understood structure, and I always try to structure things. Now, I know different people have different ways of structuring a beginning, middle, and end. There is definitely a beginning, middle, and end. For me, the beginning of my song is just to kind of set the tone for what the rest of the song is going to be talking about. I know some people believe that the beginning of the song should have something captivating enough to make somebody want to keep listening. Like, some people like to put their most shocking or most captivating material at the beginning. I know a lot of rappers say that, like, you want to open up with something really, really captivating. But I don't really do that. Like, I usually catch my steam during the middle of the song. The beginning of the song, to me, is to set the tone for what you're about to hear. It's like a thesis statement. The middle of the song is to pick up steam, where now I'm in my groove of writing. Now I have to dig a little bit deeper, give you a little bit more in the middle part of the song. And then at the end, to me, is just to wrap up. It's just to summarize what the whole thing was about and what do you want to leave on people's minds. That's what you want the end of your song to be.
Yeah.
That's how I try to structure. I always want, whatever I create, I want to leave something on your mind, whether it came from the beginning, middle, or the end. I just want you to take something from it.
You want the start of your song to be the bullet point of your agenda.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah, I think
it.
a lot of artists don't even have that. A lot of people go into specifically rappers, they go into a song and they don't even know what the central idea is. They don't know what the topic is. They just start writing bars. And that's
it's
it.
Bitches and money. And
you know what's funny is Phil, you say that, but that's, don't get me wrong, that's the commonality of what's happening in hip hop. If they can swing from that and start looking at the other things that also occurs in this world, don't get me wrong. You had a grandma. You talk about grandma. Dear Mama was a song that went dear to people's heart because we all got one. We have a grandpa. We have things that happen at the ballpark. Things that happen with our lover. I mean, some sweet things and some bad things, incidents. But if you could go become global and become, you know, make people interested in the topic because you've been through it, that they can relate to it.
Well, in that case, when you look at guys who have been through hardships, why do they not turn around and make a concept album? A concept album is something that's been used in prog rock for years. And basically, a prog rock is basically a storytelling. It's basically a narrative with music. So wouldn't you like to write the first 20 years of your life as a narrative, starting from birth and building up to the end of the album when you hit your 20th birthday, and you write it as a narrative, and you basically write it as a full concept album the first 20 years.
I could understand, because you'd have something to base it on, and the heart of you would come out in it, because only the memories of those 20 years that stood out are going to be those of emphasis. And I can understand that.
And can I say something? And that's not an ego-driven track. That's a track that, I'm telling you, when you talk about experience, don't get me wrong, you can talk about the experience of where you came from. I'm talking about the neighborhood you came from, what you've seen out there. Okay, you've seen this, you've been in the gutter. So you've seen this girl who actually was a fine, pretty girl, but she turned to the world and got on crack.
But here's the thing, it's not a track, it's an entire album. You build it slowly.
Yeah, I'm just saying those kind of stories and events happen in people's lives, and then it happens not only in my life, but it's probably happening right before your eyes in your life.
I mean, it could be a very entertaining song. I mean, Tupac had a song, Wonder Why What They Call You Bitch.
How about Brendan's got a baby?
Brenda's got a baby, so it could be done. It takes the talent of the artist to make it a song, not just we're dealing with a lot of kids that's rapping that hasn't seen anything, and that all they know because of what they see. Friendship been saying this because of what they see. You know what I'm saying? Copying it all the artists. So all you guys are rapping about is streets, money, hoes, and drugs. You know what I'm saying? And that's all that they're following. So they're not paying attention to say I could do. Well, I come from that same environment, but I'm going to put a different look at it. Let me tell you about where I came from. Let me tell you about it ain't about me liking this. There's two sides to it. So let me switch it up and tell you the good side and the bad side to it. And not just saying, hey, I got this, and this is fun. And that's all they want.
But you know why that you're getting this issue is because rap is the easiest product to produce. One microphone and a track.
I understand
what he was saying, coming from England, and he was talking about the musicians and what have you, and putting together the production and having the live input. But you see, you've got computers damn near in every house in America, and so what's happening is that just like in the good old days when everybody stood on the street corner and tried to sing, you have so many individuals, but you only have that special one that's going to walk.
But this is why you.
But let me ask a question.
This is why you don't make a song. This is why you make an album. You turn it into a 20-year biography. You make it a concept album.
It's not going to be an album if they don't have nothing else to talk about.
But a lot of these young men haven't came from the. A lot of them didn't come from the ghetto. What about the ones who are rapping who actually don't? That we feel like don't really feel what they're actually saying because they don't know nothing about the hood. They didn't really come from it. But they're trying to create that whole hood mentality in their rap and all that. Then we find out they ain't never been in the hood, don't know nothing about the hood.
Yeah, but see, you know why they're confused? Because rap, gangster rap, underground. They've got so many different little niches that rap has under the category of hip-hop, that they get confused. Do I want to put out
Yeah, but they're trying to embrace it and trying to come off as if they're a part of that lifestyle and they're rapping about it when they never even seen it.
Because that's what's cool on TV, though. That's all they see. That's what they see. Like, so
I think it's
just like following the format.
When it comes
and that's
down
how
to it,
we able to pick up that actually they're not the music that we hear them say, the stuff that we hear, it don't come together. We don't really feel it. We know it's not genuine because they really not feeling what they're actually saying, and they're basically.
Yeah. Well, when it comes down to it, there's a reason that I'm a metal fan even more so than usual. The job I work in the emergency department of a hospital. The things that I have seen, I'm looking at changing jobs right now just because there is nothing more. There's only so many times that you can watch a child die before you have to go, I'm in the wrong job. And I've seen seven children die. And when it comes down to it, and when you've watched that kind of shit, you really do truly understand what it's like to what, and it's not even going to their bodies when they're dead, it's watching them die. because the system has failed, and just saying, I wasn't there to move their bodies. I was there when their parents were there. I watched them die when they watched their child die. And it screws you up 6 ways from Sunday with every single one. So when it comes down to talking about the honesty of what is going on, you need to understand the honesty. And yeah, I may be in the UK, and yeah, I may not live in the hood, but considering that is 7 children I've watched die amongst the hundreds of people who I've watched die, whether it may be a drunk driving accident, whether it may be a stabbing or a shooting or all that. I've seen it.
Phil?
Yeah?
Phil, I kind of understand why you go in there. And you're saying that you watch all these people die. As a contributor of music, and as a contributor of music, we're getting ready to round up because we got 10 minutes. I'd like you to give me about 2 minutes of what you can see as a musician.
Yeah.
That you could do to improve the process and be a contributor of keeping music alive, keeping hip-hop, keep metal, keep bluegrass,
anything
what we can in music alive and happening in people's lives for the better and not for the worse. I'm giving you 2 minutes to close out. I'm going to have to go to everybody. So we got 10 minutes, okay? You now have the floor. Go for it.
The one thing that's missing in all forms of music, including what hip-hop is, hip-hop should die. It should be replaced with rap. Rap is the form. Hip-hop is the baby sister, not the baby brother, but the baby sister of rap. It is a childish mentality that needs to be killed off very quickly. People need to understand what it's like to understand the hardships that people witness. People need to understand the honesty of music, whether it may be blues, whether it may be jazz, rock and roll, metal, rap. Hip-hop is for pussies. It's not hip-hop, it's rap. That is the real thing. Hip-hop is for pussies. And it really about
now,
the
now I do want you. I want you to be respectful of the show too. So, but I do definitely hear
English.
Hear
it's not like it's not the same. Just
yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and when
I think it's interesting.
And when it comes down to it, hip hop is the evolution of rap that should have never have happened. Rap needs to be rap. Rap is rap. Rap was honesty. Hip-hop is basically the, to use the term, the bastard child of rap. It is an annoying thing. It's where rappers go to tell you how much money they've made and how many women they've had sex with. They're a waste of time. Talk about honesty. Talk about your life experience. Talk about what you've dealt with.
Okay, Uncle Phil, I appreciate you.
I love Uncle Phil.
Yeah, I like Uncle Phil, too. I got to go to the next person. Frenchie, give me your 2 minutes, Phil.
Okay, so to wrap my thoughts up on why unsigned artists aren't making it into mainstream, number one, it has to do with your intentions. I don't feel like your intentions as an artist should be to be mainstream. I think that's a fake way to approach music, and people can sense when somebody's doing something genuinely and when somebody's just doing something to get something. If you're making music, make it because you love it. And if you love it and it really runs through your soul and your blood and your being and you need it, people will sense that because you'll express that through what you write about and how you express what you write. And you'll find your own sound because you're an actual artist and you think about your music in your own unique way. And that's what people are captivated by, and that's how you reach a lot of people. It doesn't matter what you talk about. If it's true to you and you're good at expressing it and you know your sound, that's what you should focus on, developing yourself as an artist. And once you get to a level that's of a high caliber, then, yeah, that's when you'll open up opportunities to be able to reach a mainstream audience. So that's my input. Thanks for having me on the show.
Stay with me. We're going to go to Twyla. What's your thoughts?
This go to Road Dog. I'm just listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
All right. Hey, wait. Okay. Rhonda, I'm going to close out. We're going to go to Dollar real quick.
Okay.
So this is what I feel. I feel seeing hip-hop grow to what it is become corporate, is become business. And now you're dealing with the flip side of unsigned artists not going to labels. They want to do it themselves, but they don't want to put in. Rappers are late. They don't want the money behind themselves, because if you're going to do this by yourself, you got to be able to will. You got to work. We already talked about everything from the production side. If you're going to get you a production team, if you're not going to be your own producer, get you a production team. That might cost money. You got to network every way you can. You got to print up your own CDs. You got to put money behind yourself. $20, $30, $40 ain't going to do it. That's only going to give you the same buzz that you're going to keep within your neighborhood. So you might have to put $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 behind yourself if you're going to reach somewhere else. And that's just what I feel. I always feel like they don't have the education or the circle around them to say, hey, this is what I have to do, or this is what you got to do to make it. If you're going to make it and you want to be mainstream as unsigned or get signed, you got to put yourself out there. But just saying, hey, check this link out on Facebook or Twitter, that's not going to get it. What are you going to do? It's grown so big that it's just in the States, it's over 500,000 people that claim to be rappers. So what are you doing different? You're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. So now you got to put your money into yourself. Now you got to reach out to the UK to get your music heard. You got to reach out if you're over in Atlanta. You got to reach out to Cali. You're going to have to pay for spins. You're going to have to pay for promotions. You're going to have to pay for everything. But you got to be willing to do it. And you can't just sit in your room. You got to go show your face.
Yep.
You got to show your face. That's just, I just feel like you got to have that look at
it. Oh, you calling on me now?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Okay, yeah, you have to invest within yourself. Now, you know, all that promotion and all that, you've got to have the real deal and bring it. I mean, you know, original, outstanding, and having that mentality to understand where to take it. You know, I've been paid for and I have been bought, and all I had to do is have the product and the door open. You know, but I had the full package. I'm not halfway. I've got the copyrights. I've got everything in order, that all I have to do is go and knock on a door. Now, if that product is worthy, that door opens. But don't fool yourself by blowing air up a dead goose's ass and paying a whole bunch of money on something that ain't shit. That's crazy. You can pay a whole bunch of people, and they'll blow air up your ass and make you believe, oh, yeah, well, yeah. If you do this and you do that, it don't go nowhere. That's money spent. Let's get real. It's the depth of what you've got going. You know, hey, it's the depth of how that production is put together and the quality and the intensity and the originality. Hey, you either make you or break you. Let's not fool ourselves. You can't make a car and have wood and wheels and no engine. Come on now. Let's just be real. Putting money out there and paying a whole bunch of people, and it's not qualified, go knock on some doors. They'll tell you whether it's qualified or not, and they'll open that door. They'll invest in you. Come on now. Let's get this industry real. This is a business, and if you bring it and you bring the right thing, they will invest in you. You know, but it's about cultivating yourself, educating yourself. You know, and this is what we call fat on the head. You know, are you going to be a guitar player and not have a guitar and an amplifier? No. You got to invest in yourself. So, hey, these young artists need to understand this is a business, and the business will take you or the business will make you. Call Poetic,
right,
call Hip Hop National, and, hey, you know, ask the right questions and we'll give you the right answers. All right, Poetic.
All right, guys, www.hiphopnational.com. You can call 954-461-3398. Be looking forward to connecting with your music, and we'll help direct you in the right direction. Why do you think most unsigned artists are not making it into mainstream? What an awesome show. It is available right after the show at our website, www.hiphopnational.com. Good night, everybody. Thank you very, very much.
Have a good
night.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.